Thank you for joining me. I'm Kimberly Rogers, and you're listening to this week's Torah portion from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. This message is brought to you by themessianicmessage.com. themessianicmessage.com. I hope that you enjoy this teaching. This week's Torah portion is a double Torah portion. It's Akarei Mot and Kedushim, according to Kabbad.org. Akarei Mot is after the death. It is Leviticus chapter 16, verse 1 to chapter 18, verse 30. That Haftarah is Ezekiel 22, verses 1 to 19, and the Brit Hadashah is Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 to 28. And Kedushim is Leviticus 19, verse 1 to 37, and Leviticus 20, verses 1 to 27. Amos chapter 9, verses 7 to 15, and the Brit Hadashah is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 20, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 16. The words Akarei Mot mean after the death, and the word Kedushim means holy ones, and I'm going to teach about the Kedusha, our duty to be holy ones, towards the end of this Torah portion, but we're going to start with Akarei Mot. I'm calling this Torah portion How and Why Yeshua Cleanses and Forgives. There's some confusion in the Christian doctrine about the difference between forgiveness and cleansing. We know that Yeshua cleanses and forgives, but we just don't know how that happens. Yeshua has always been in the business of forgiving sins. He has to do that personally. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, when they committed a crime against his laws in the garden, Yeshua is the one that forgave them personally. Forgiveness of sins is usually a one-on-one transaction between the person and the Lord. Cleansing, though, can happen personally with the Lord, or it can happen nationally with the Lord. Quite often, the word chata'a is used for a whole host of sins. But kata'a and the other words for sins, which are ma'al, avon, asham, have all been kind of lumped together because I believe the translators of the Bible did not really understand this concept. Kata'a is a cleansing sacrifice for uncleanness and also for certain kinds of sins. But ma'al, avon, asham, those are all words that pertain to categories of crimes. See, you can become unclean without having sinned personally. You just, something has happened in your life. You've had a baby, you had a cold, you had sex, you know, that made you unclean. See, so for that you need a kata'a offering. Now, if you have committed treachery or decided that you're going to be rebellious, you need a different kind of sacrifice. You need a ma'al or an avon or an asham sacrifice. But it is in Akarei Mot, which is all about Yom Kippur, it is that the sacrifice there is kata'a. It is not ma'al or avon or asham, which are treachery and deliberate crimes committed against the Lord. Now, at Yom Kippur, we have the two goats, and I believe that they foretell the two men, Barabbas, who is actually Bar-Abbas, and Yeshua, who are both sons of the Father. Bar means son. Abba or Abbas means father. And so in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 1, in the contemporary English version, It says, two of Aaron's sons had already lost their lives for disobeying the Lord. So the Lord told Moses to say to Aaron, I, the Lord, appear in a cloud over the place of mercy on the sacred chest, which is behind the inside curtain of the sacred tent. And I warn you not to go there except at the proper time, otherwise you will die. Before entering this most holy place, you must offer a bull as a sacrifice for your sins, or kata'ah, and a ram as a sacrifice to please me. You will take a bath and put on the sacred linen clothes, including the underwear, the robe, the sash, and the turban. Then the community of Israel will bring you a ram and two goats, both of them males. The goats are to be used as sacrifices for sin, kata'ah, and the ram is to be used as a sacrifice to please me. Kata'ah is a sacrifice for cleansing of both offenses and for being when you're in need of purifying. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Yeshua his Son cleanses us from all sin. And in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here we have in the New Testament a differentiation between the kinds of offenses that require that kind of cleansing, that kind of kata'ah, and unrighteousness, which is associated with moral wrongfulness or iniquity, being unjust, and so forth. The word for sin in verse 7 is hamartia, and it literally means an offense. It's the same kind of thing as the kata'ah, which means an offense, and also, purifying. You're in need of purifying. And the word there for unrighteousness in verse 9 is adikia, which has the meaning of iniquity or unjustness or moral wrongfulness. So you see, Yeshua's blood cleanses and forgives. Now, kata'ah has the same aspect, that it cleanses from defilement of, being unclean. It also is for certain kinds of acts that we do in ignorance, which, by the way, there are always sacrifices for sins of ignorance. There is no sacrifice for deliberate sin, but that's for another teaching. However, we have an example in Leviticus chapter 4, and I'm going to go to that later, where there has been a shagah, a sin of ignorance, and it is sacrificed for by a kata'ah offering, which is an offense offering. And I'll get into that a little bit later, but let's go back to Leviticus chapter 16, verse 6. Aaron, you must offer the bull as a sacrifice of forgiveness for your own sins and for the sins of your family. Then you will lead the two goats into my presence at the front of the sacred tent, where I will show you which goat will be sacrificed to me and which will be sent to the desert to the demon Azazel. After you offer the first goat as a sacrifice for sin, the other one must be presented to me alive before you send it into the desert to take away the sins of the people. You must offer the bull as a sacrifice to ask forgiveness for your own sins and for the sins of your family. Then you will take a fire pan of live coals from the bronze altar, together with two handfuls of finely ground incense, into the most holy place. There you will present them to me by placing the incense on the coals, so that the place of mercy will be covered with a cloud of smoke. Do this, or you will die right there. Next, Use a finger to sprinkle some of the blood on the place of mercy, which is on the lid of the sacred chest. Then sprinkle blood 7 times in front of the chest. Aaron, you must next sacrifice the goat for the sins of the people, and you must sprinkle its blood inside the most holy place, just as you did with the blood of the bull. By doing this, you will take away the sins that make both the most holy place and the people of Israel unclean. So you see, what Yom Kippur has to do is the uncleanness, the tahor and tameh aspects, you know, clean and unclean, and also those offenses that require the kata'ah offering. It's about the children of Israel having become unclean. The temple has to be cleansed. It's about cleansing at Yom Kippur. And this verse goes on to say, do the same for the sacred tent which is here among the people. Only you are allowed in the sacred tent from the time you enter until the time you come out. After leaving the tent, you will purify the bronze altar by smearing each of its 4 corners with some of the blood from the bull and from the goat. Use a finger to sprinkle the altar 7 times with the blood, and it will become completely clean from the sins of the people. So again, here we see that Yom Kippur is more associated with cleansing than forgiveness. After you have purified the most holy place, the sacred tent, and the bronze altar, you must bring the live goat to the front of the tent. There you will lay your hands on its head while confessing every sin the people have committed. Those sins are there in verse 21 are kata'ah. And it says you will appoint someone to lead the goat into the desert so that it can take away their sins, their kata'ah. Now, again, I don't want to make this confusing. Yom Kippur has to do with cleansing. It also has to do with forgiveness of sins that cause people to be unclean. For instance, the leper has sown bad seeds into his flesh, or there may be secret sins of some kind, maybe Lashon Hara. We have studied that a little bit. There are some sins that have caused this person to be a leper, and those sins are crimes against the Torah that have caused him to be unclean, you see, or to be tamei. So we need to understand that this is the work of the Messiah, the cleansing from being tamei and the forgiveness of sins. That's what Yom Kippur is about. It is about the work of the Messiah. And in verse 22, finally, this goat that carries the heavy burden of Israel's sins must be released deep in the desert. Now, I want to explain to you about another time when the congregation of Israel has committed a sin through ignorance, a shagah, and it has to do a kata'ah offering that is not associated with Yom Kippur. That is found in Leviticus chapter 4, verse 13. And it says, if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, that's shagah, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, or shagah, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. The elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall bring of the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkle it 7 times before the Lord, even before the veil. And he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar which is before the Lord, that is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take all his fat from him, and burn it upon the altar. And he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering. So he shall do this, and the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. And he shall carry forth the bullock without the camp, and burn him as he burned the first bullock. It is a sin offering for the congregation. Again, that word there for sin or sin offering in verse 20 is kata'ah. It is the same offering that is offered when we have a need to be purified. So this is how we get the understanding that sin leads to impurity. And, you know, even though there are other sin offerings and other categories of sins or crimes against the Torah, we understand that the Yom Kippur and this particular sin offering, Kata'ah, deals with both cleansing and, you know, it's or cleansing or purifying, and with sins against the Lord's commandments. And so I hope that that helps to clarify things a little bit, make them a little bit clearer, because there are different categories of crimes against the Torah, and committing a crime against the Torah will make you impure. It will defile you. It will make you unclean. And so at Yom Kippur, now Yeshua's work is to cleanse us and forgive us and cleanse us from our unrighteousness. That is how and why he does both of those works. Now, let's talk about the Lord's designated places for sacrifices. And I'm back in the contemporary English version, chapter 17, verse 1. The Lord told Moses to tell Aaron, his sons, and everyone else in Israel, whenever you kill any of your cattle, sheep, or goats as sacrifices to me, you must do it at the entrance to the sacred tent. If you don't, you will be guilty of pouring out blood, and you will no longer belong to the community of Israel. And so, when you sacrifice an animal to ask my blessing, it must not be done in a field, but in front of the sacred tent. Then a priest can splatter its blood against the bronze altar and send its fat up in smoke with a smell that pleases me. Don't ever turn from me again and offer sacrifices to goat demons. This law will never change. Remember, no one in Israel, including foreigners, is to offer a sacrifice anywhere except at the entrance to the sacred tent. If you do, you will no longer belong to my people. See, the Lord gives us that warning there about if you do this, you're not going to belong to my people anymore. He gives that to us twice. He really does mean what he says about that. But what does it mean to be guilty of pouring out blood? Well, it means that you have usurped the role of the priests. Only they are authorized to pour out blood, which is what they do when they take blood to the altar, or when they sprinkle it on the tabernacle items, and also when they put blood on the people, you know, like when Moses sprinkled the people with blood. That act of pouring out of the blood alone belongs to the line of Aaron. No one else has the authority to do that, you see. And it's very specific here that it is to be done at the sacred tent, at the entrance, at the threshold to the Lord's house, because all of these sacrifices are threshold sacrifices. Now, what do you do if you're just going to kill and eat an animal? Well, if you're going to hunt one, you have to do this, according to Leviticus 17, verse 13. Even if you should hunt and kill a bird or an animal, you must drain out the blood and cover it with soil. The life of every living creature is in its blood. That's why I have forbidden you to eat blood, which the other religious people around, the Canaanites and the Moabites and all those people, they used to drink the blood. The Lord forbids that. And he says, that's why I have warned you that anyone who does will no longer belong to my people. So even wild animals are subject to the rules of blood manipulation. But what if you want to eat, you know, something of your own cattle there? It says in Deuteronomy chapter 12, 15, it says, notwithstanding, you may kill and eat flesh in all your gates, whatsoever your soul lusts after, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you, the unclean and the clean, you know, they're talking about people there. The unclean person and the clean person may eat thereof, as of the roebuck and as of the hart. Only you shall not eat the blood, you shall pour it upon the earth. So if you're going to eat any kind of flesh, including the roebuck and hart, which are wild animals, you can eat any kind of flesh in your gates, but you have to pour the blood in the earth. Now we're going to go on to Leviticus chapter 19, and we're going to talk about Kiddushim. And I want to address the issue of Kedusha, or holiness. Chapter 19, verses 1 and 2 say, the Lord told Moses to say to the community of Israel, I am the Lord your God, I am holy, and you must be holy too. And then he gives us all these things that, if we do these, they make us to be a holy congregation. Now, it's interesting, I've said to you in the past that doing these things do not make you holy personally. You know, it is not about your personal holiness. It's about your cooperation to make the congregation holy. The Lord has never called any single person holy. He calls his congregation holy. That means that everybody in the congregation has to participate in these holy acts, these things that make us holy, in order for the congregation to be holy. You see what I'm saying? And it's like I said before, that I personally am not holy, but when I look at you, you are holy because you're part of the congregation to me. When you look at me as a congregation, you cannot say that I am holy. You can't view me as holy. So these things that make us holy, they make us holy as a congregation. And here's what we are to do. Verse 3. Respect your father and your mother, honor the Sabbath, and don't make idols or images. I am the Lord your God. When you offer a sacrifice to ask my blessing, be sure to follow my instructions. You may eat the meat either on the day of the sacrifice or on the next day, but you must burn anything left until the third day. If you eat any of it on the third day, the sacrifice will be disgusting to me, and I will reject it. In fact, you will be punished for not respecting what I say is holy, and you will no longer belong to the community of Israel. When you harvest your grain, always leave some of it standing along the edges of your fields, and don't pick up what falls on the ground. Don't strip your grapevines clean or gather the grapes that fall off the vines. Leave them for the poor and for those foreigners who live among you. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal or tell lies or cheat others. Do not misuse my name by making promises you don't intend to keep. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal anything or cheat anyone, and don't fail to pay your workers at the end of each day. I am the Lord your God, and I command you to not make fun of the deaf or to cause a blind person to stumble. Be fair, no matter who is on trial. Don't favor either the poor or the rich. Don't be a gossip, but never hesitate to speak up in court, especially if your testimony can save someone's life. Don't hold grudges. On the other hand, it's wrong not to correct someone who needs correcting. See, all these things kind of take wisdom, don't they? Stop being angry and don't try to take revenge. I am the Lord, and I command you to love others as much as you love yourself. Breed your livestock animals only with animals of the same kind, and don't plant two kinds of seed in the same field, or wear clothes made of different kinds of material. If a man has sex with a slave woman who is promised in marriage to someone else, he must pay a fine. But they are not to be put to death. After all, she was still a slave at the time. The man must bring a ram to the entrance of the sacred tent and give it to a priest, who will then offer it as a sacrifice to me, so the man's sins will be forgiven. After you enter the land, you will plant fruit trees, but you are not to eat any of their fruit for the first 3 years. In the fourth year, the fruit must be set apart as an expression of thanks to me, the Lord God. Do this, and in the fifth year, those trees will produce an abundant harvest of fruit for you to eat. Don't eat the blood of any animal. Don't practice any kind of witchcraft. I forbid you to shave any part of your head or beard, or to cut and tattoo yourself as a way of worshiping the dead. Don't let your daughters serve as temple prostitutes. This would bring disgrace both to them and to the land. I command you to respect the Sabbath and the place where I am worshipped. Don't make yourself disgusting to me by going to people who claim they can talk to the dead. I command you to show respect for older people and to obey me with fear and trembling. Don't mistreat any foreigners who live in your land. Instead, treat them as well as you treat citizens and love them as much as you love yourself. Remember, you were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Use honest scales and don't cheat when you weigh or measure anything. I am the Lord your God. I rescued you from Egypt, and I command you to obey my laws. Now those are the things that we are to do. Here are the things we are to avoid. The Lord told Moses to say to the community of Israel, death by stoning is the penalty for any citizens or foreigners in the country who sacrifice their children to the god Molech. They have disgraced both the place where I am worshipped and my holy name, so I will turn against them and no longer let them belong to my people. Some of you may let them get away with human sacrifice, but not me. If any of you worship Molech, I will turn against you and your entire family, and I will no longer let you belong to my people. I will be your enemy if you go to someone who claims to speak with the dead, and I will destroy you from among the people. Dedicate yourselves to me and be holy, because I am the Lord your God. I have chosen you as my people, and I expect you to obey my laws. If you curse your father or mother, you will be put to death, and it will be your own fault. If any of you men have sex with another man's wife, both you and the man will be put to the death. Having sex with one of your father's wives disgraces him, so both you and the woman will be put to death just as you deserve. It isn't natural to have sex with your daughter-in-law, and both of you will be put to death just as you deserve. It's disgusting for men to have sex with one another, and those who do will be put to death just as they deserve. It isn't natural for a man to marry both a mother and her daughter, and so all three of them will be burned to death. If any of you have sex with an animal, both you and the animal will be put to death just as you deserve. If you marry one of your sisters, you will be punished, and the two of you will be disgraced by being openly forced out of the community. If you have sex with a woman during her monthly period, both you and the woman will be cut off from the people of Israel. The sisters of your father and mother are your own relatives, and you will be punished for having sex with them. If you have sex with your uncle's wife, neither you nor she will ever have any children. And if you marry your sister-in-law, neither of you will ever have any children. Obey my laws and teachings, or else the land I am giving you will become sick of you and throw you out. The nations I am chasing out did these disgusting things, and I hated them for it, so don't follow their example. I am the Lord your God, and I have promised you their land that is rich with milk and honey. I have chosen you to be different from other people. That's why you must make a difference between animals and birds that I have said are clean and unclean. This will keep you from becoming disgusting to me. I am the Lord, the Holy God. You have been chosen to be my people, and so you must be holy too. If you claim to receive messages from the dead, you will be put to death by stoning, just as you deserve. So those are the things that we are to do that the Lord views as what makes us holy before him. And if you really look very closely in chapters 19 and 20 of Leviticus, you will see that they pretty much cover everything that the Lord has said to do or not to do. So I hope that you have understood how Yom Kippur has to do with cleansing and forgiveness. And I hope that you have understood how it is that we are a holy people, but we cannot claim personal holiness. And I hope that this Torah portion has been a blessing to you. Shabbat Shalom.